May we always hold compassion in our hearts. Amen. I think we've all heard the saying, never talk about politics, religion, or money. Well, here it goes, because Jesus is talking about politics, religion, and money in our gospel today. And we start off with Jesus telling us, beware the scribes. Be wary of their sense of entitlement. Be wary of their pretentiousness. And be wary, for they devour widows' houses. Who are these scribes? They could read and write. They were often advisors. And they populated temple bureaucracy at every level, and from royal court to poor villages. They were the teachers and interpreters of the laws and the ordinances of the Torah. And despite outer signs of piety, Jesus accuses the scribes of violating the call to give of oneself for others, especially those in need, which is one of the most basic tenets of the Torah. It violates the great commandment to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. The scribes were supposed to be advocates for the people. They were supposed to be trusted leaders. And the Jewish people knew emphatically, as part of their beliefs, that they were never to mistreat widows and orphans. Hence, scribes were appointed to be faithful trustees on behalf of the widow or orphan who held an inheritance. But instead, their fees devoured the inheritance, often leaving the widows destitute. So Jesus is watching the scribes put in large sums of money into the treasury, but he is not impressed. For Jesus, thus for us as Christians, it matters how we make our money and how we acquire our money. It matters how we use our money. Do we use it only for personal gain, or do we share what we have? And as we hear next, how the place from which our giving springs forth matters as well. Jesus is still watching, and he sees a widow put her 2 pennies into the treasury. And immediately he calls his disciples to him to share a teaching. And Jesus is telling the disciples that the widow is a model of discipleship who stands in stark contrast to the scribes. The widow chooses to participate in a system that oppresses her, and she does so alongside of the very people who, under the guise of piety, are her oppressors. Jesus praises the widow's actions because out of her poverty and without reservation, she gave of her whole being to God. She gave from the entirety that is her life. And the act of dropping her coins into the treasury, she claims her agency. There is a great need for each of us to remember and to see each day that we are all interconnected. And the more we are able to see ourselves as connected to others, the harder it becomes to not have compassion, much harder to become apathetic or indifferent. Each one of us influences and affects another person in some way, whether we take direct action or not. I was listening to a podcast with Dr. James Doty, and he's a clinical professor of neurosurgery at Stanford University and founding director of CCARE, the Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education. And the interviewer asked him, "I wonder how the work you do on a day-to-day basis and what you learn, both personally but also as a scientist, how does that continue to kind of infuse and shape the way you move through the world on an everyday basis?" And he replies in part, "I have the capacity to, through my actions, improve the life of at least one person. What we forget sometimes is even smiling at another person, which takes very little effort, for that person who receives it, it can mean an immense amount. And not to forget that these small, little actions, these little ripples, can actually end up creating a tsunami if each of us engages in them. Remember, and we know this from the science, when a person sees another person engage in a positive behavior, they're many, many times more likely to engage in that behavior themselves. When we see another person act with kindness and with generosity and with gratitude, it becomes infectious." And Doty himself is a living example of how one person can change another person's life, because someone did that for him. He shared his own personal story of how a woman named Ruth, who was in his life for 6 weeks, that he met in a Lancaster, California magic shop, changed his life. He was on his way to being a delinquent. He was repeatedly kicked out of schools for fighting. His family was poor and often in chaos. And Doty thought his life held no hope. Then he met Ruth, who changed everything for him by teaching him what we now call neuroplasticity. And he says, "In the 6 weeks that I interacted with her, what she taught me truly rewired my brain. As I tell people, prior to that, I felt like a leaf being blown by an ill wind. I had no control over anything, and events would happen, and I couldn't do anything about them. I felt, and I think it was in fact reality, that at that point when I met her, I had limited to no possibilities. After that 6 week period of time, I suddenly had this vision that anything and everything was possible. And what happened to me? That vision of possibility was so strong and so deep and so powerful that it was absolutely amazing. The thing is, though, that my own personal circumstances fundamentally did not change at all." So when Jesus highlights the widow as to what true discipleship is, Jesus tells us it isn't grand gestures. It isn't giving for recognition. Discipleship is giving from one's heart, from a place of love. Love of God, love of neighbor, love of self. It is acting out from a compassionate heart that we are each capable of making an enormous impact upon a person's life with nothing more than intentional, genuine, personal interactions. We can have wealth but remain impoverished. We can be poor but have great wealth within. Jesus encouraged his disciples, encourages us towards generous compassion, and that we are measured by our compassion in the eyes of God. Amen.